Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support.
Working the late night bar scene almost guarantees you're going to come across unsavory behavior in the workplace. Crazy behavior, not only from coworkers, but customers as well. Today, a crazy bar horror story on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror story with us. Write in at officehorrorstories.com. You do it completely anonymously, so if you got something going on in your current workplace or just, you know, reaching back to the past and going, totally forgot about that shit, we'd love to hear it and just kind of let it all out. 833-HATE-JOB, toll-free, or like I said, officehorrorstories.com is the website to write in your office horror story. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. It's the best day of the week.
Why is it the best day of the week?
It's OHS day.
OHS day.
That's true. It is OHS Day. We do celebrate it now. We have a little OHS countdown calendar and everything. You eat a chocolate every day. And then it's like, ooh, it's OHS Day. So is this, do you get the most enjoyment out of doing this program? I mean, not to denigrate Real Ghost Stories, because it's our, you know, it's still one of my favorite shows, but, this seems a little more, it's a little more freedom to kind of riff.
I think it's kind of like children in that they're the same yet they're different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's different. It's not necessarily better or worse. It's just, I right now find it a little bit, I guess, I don't know, more interesting at the moment just because it's still new.
Okay.
But
that makes sense.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not that I love it more or less than the Ghost Show. It's just a different kid.
That's a safe answer.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get you. I totally understand what you're saying. And that's, and anything new and exciting kind of has its little, you know, honeymoon period,
right,
if you will, where it's like, oh, this is new. And I'm just really enjoying doing this show right now, because it's such a it's a break from doing ghosts on the air. And I love doing ghosts and talking about it, but it's fun to be able to talk about some other things on the air without feeling like I shouldn't be talking about that on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, sometimes with ghost stories, it's like, oh, I have a great story kind of ties into this, but it's not ghost related, and I know that annoys some people, and some people love it, but here's an outlet where we can talk about a lot of those
right things. We'll try and funnel those stories over here more.
Exactly. So if you have an office horror story you want to share, 833-HATE-JOB is the phone number, or write in at officehorrorstories.com. I have a new office chair that arrived. I have to put together. It's in a large box right over there.
I think it'll be easy.
Do I go through office chairs faster than normal? I mean, it feels to me like I just got this chair and now it's like falling apart. Or did I just buy a shitty chair? Is that?
Well, you spend so much time sitting in your chair. I think it's a combination of you got a shitty chair plus you use it a lot.
Okay.
So I'm glad you got a nice chair this time.
It's a step up.
It is a step up.
I think I got like the Amazon Basics one last time.
Pretty much.
Where it's
And it worked, but it did. Not for all day, every day.
Yeah.
You literally sit leaning. It that's going to be something you have to adjust, is when you get this new chair, mm-hmm. is not sitting leaning.
Why?
Because
it tilts my chair.
Your chair tilts, mm-hmm. right now. You're just going to have to get used to not being tilted. It literally, you're like this.
Am I?
You are totally like that.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. I don't know. I think it's just a habit. I don't know if I'm ever going to break it, but
it's not you. It's your chair.
But isn't it because I lean that
No.
it then leans?
Well, I mean, maybe that's what started it, but there's something wrong with your chair. It should not lean like that.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned something new today.
Your leaning tower of Tony.
There you go. All right. Let's jump into our first story.
Okay.
I'll lean this way. 833-HATE-JOB is the number. It says, for a space of a few months, about 5 years ago, I worked at a pub in England. A friend and I, both born and raised together, were there for something that I told everyone was a working vacation. The plan was to get a job and just live the life of a local in another country for a few months. The town I landed in was a quintessential English village with beautiful old buildings, forest, rolling hills, just a part of the scenery. I would love spending just hours hiking around the area and seeing what there was to see. It was great. And although I wasn't much of a bartender, I look back on those few months fondly. This isn't a podcast about peace and quiet, though, is it? So here is a story about the least peaceful night of my English pub career. Near the end of my time working for this pub, the manager left on a month-long vacation, leaving the assistant manager, who was only in his early 20s at the time, to deal with the small-scale apocalypse that would soon descend upon the sleepy town. After a couple weeks of the usual steady business, there came a night when a group of nearly 100 people booked an entire room of the place for a massive celebration of some sort. We were able to accommodate them, and they began to trickle in through the doors at around 7 o'clock in the evening. By 8 o'clock, the room was filled with partygoers. All of the serving staff knew that over-serving alcohol is a big no-no, especially in a town as small as the one we were in. It's one thing we have to kick someone out of the pub for rowdy behavior, but it's much worse when the guy getting the boot is the only barber in town, and now you can't get your hair cut because you're afraid of getting the Sweeney Todd treatment. So we kept an eye on the group and made sure no one was getting out of hand. One customer must have found a way to game the system, though, because by midnight, she was a bomb ready to detonate. Then came an argument. Just a small misunderstanding between her and one of the other members of the big group. I don't even know what the argument was about, since at that point, I was behind the bar, beginning to tidy up for the approaching closing time. Voices were raised to full-on screams until the very slightly sober customer threw his hands in the air in a show of frustration and marched hotly out of the building. This left our star player standing in the middle of the pub, apart from the rest of the group, which had grown awkwardly silent in the wake of the fight. She started to breathe deeply, not in a calming way, but in a hyperventilating sort of way. Then she began to stalk angrily around the floor, her face slowly turning an alarming shade of red, like a tomato left on the vine for slightly too long. No reason to panic yet. I was still behind the bar along with my fellow Canadian and one other employee, while the acting manager and one or two other employees were on the floor. Then, still breathing like she just sprinted a marathon, the angry partygoer joined us behind the bar. To help everyone visualize, the bar was square with space on all four sides for people to come and order. I had two exits, which ended up being a godsend. The acting manager quickly came over, approached the woman, and told her that she wasn't allowed to be behind the bar. "Don't touch me. Don't fucking touch me," she yells, retreating around a corner of the square. "I'm not going to touch you," said the manager, "but you really can't be back here." The woman then reached out for anything that was within grabbing distance, and the first thing her hand crossed on was a lidless Tupperware container filled with all the pub's freshly washed metal utensils, tongs, measurers, things like that. She threw the whole container as hard as she could, maybe at the manager, maybe at nothing in particular. Everything flew out of the gaping top, turned into a stainless steel scatter bomb that broke more wine glasses in one dramatic second than we lost in all the months that I'd worked there. Now things were really getting exciting, but a dozen or so broken wine glasses still isn't the end of the world. The true tragedy is that by throwing the utensils, she'd also uncovered the one item we didn't keep in the Tupperware for safety reasons, the citrus knife. "She's got a knife," the manager yells. And with those four words, the whole room descended into utter chaos. He took off, putting as much distance between him and our newly minted knife-wielding maniac as he could. I followed quickly, moving sort of sideways so as not to present my back as a target. In doing so, we both completely abandoned my Canadian friend. I've never been the heroic type, I'm afraid. The drunk customer spun and took a swing at him with a 2-inch blade. He managed to pull back in time so that he only got a bloody knuckle. To this day, he tells people that he was lightly stabbed in Europe. By now, the stunned crowd of the drunk customer's friends had been rallied into action, and two of the more daring ones closed in and tackled her to the ground. She began to scream like a banshee, making sounds I've never heard outside of exorcism movies, while fighting desperately to keep hold of the knife. She did a shockingly good job, and it took the combined strength of about four people to separate her from it. As soon as she was disarmed, she attempted to claw her way into the cellar where he kept all the beer kegs, but she didn't make it very far. By now, the police had, of course, been called, and the crazy customer was held down by a crowd of people sitting on her as she began to explain between breaths that she was okay now and they could go ahead and get off of her. They didn't. The police arrived and everything began to calm down. All the on-duty employees began to clean up again, while the off-duty employees, many of whom, like myself, lived on site, crept up and started peeking through the windows to see what all the hubbub was about. The police spoke with the girl, who had now begun to sulk, as if everybody was just overreacting for about 20 minutes or so, before taking her out to the car. I caught snippets of the conversation as I walked by, but the only part I remember was what she said when the police asked how much she had to drink. "I wasn't drunk," she said. "If I was drunk, I would have gone mental." Thanks for giving me a chance to share this story. It was pretty intense at the time, but now I think it's hilarious. I've wanted to contribute to one of your podcasts for a long time, but since I'm about as sensitive to the paranormal as a brick, and not a limestone brick, I've never had the chance. Have a fantastic day. Yours truly, from the Great White North.
I don't think I ever really thought about when you combine an office horror story with alcohol. You
it
know?
Happens.
Oh, gosh. I bet bartenders have so many stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I think that's the worst.
It just gets crazier and crazier as to what could possibly happen. Did you ever have any workplaces that like allowed for drinking at the office where they'd have not like, like every day, like, hey, let's have a beer at work, but more like they would have like the office Christmas party in the office or something?
So one of my first jobs, actually, after hours, we would sometimes lock it up because we were working late because of what we did. Sometimes there was a season where you had to put in extra hours. And sometimes those, during that time, there was daiquiris being made in the kitchen.
Sure.
And I was like 19. I wasn't supposed to have any, but I did.
Yeah.
So I can say that nothing really bad happened other than illegal underage drinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I had some of that at my first radio job. Nothing like, it's funny. We had the fridge that was the community fridge always had beer in it. It was always there. And I didn't drink beer when I was a teenager. I never liked it. So it was never like a temptation to do that. But, I do. And I look back on this moment and I go, if I was the owner, if I was the adult, and this was happening under me, maybe it's a different place in time. Maybe it's because I don't live in Wisconsin anymore.
Yeah.
But I go, how the fuck did this, did I let this slide? But I remember the owner had a, his office was upstairs above the radio station. And the stairwell came down right by the studio. So when he left in the evening, he'd usually just tap into the studio, say, hey, you know, have a good night, that sort of thing. And I was 16, 17, somewhere around there at the time. And I was doing the afternoon show on the Adult Contemporary station. So at this point in time, it's about 98, 99. The music of the days are playing My Heart Will Go On every hour on the hour, essentially. That's painting the picture of the world of music. And I had a bottle of Captain Morgan in my desk, and I would go and make a Captain and Coke every Friday at 5 o'clock. And no hiding it either. It was just like, this is what I do.
Wow.
Because other, I mean, most of the other employees would go right next door to the bar that was right there. It was kind of their thing, but I was on the air, so I couldn't. Seeing nothing wrong with the fact that I'm 16. And so I would, I'd make my drink and I'd have it there in the studio, bottle and all, just sitting. And I remember many times he'd come down like, oh, all right, enjoy the hour.
Oh, jeez.
Just no, like, what? No big deal. And I'm just thinking, when I look back on this now as an adult, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's, it's like, I couldn't imagine having like a 16-year-old working for me, number one. And then, you know, in that sort of a position. But number two, then just being like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's definitely not okay.
I feel like Wisconsin sometimes was a different country. Almost like Germany or something.
No, I think that was still probably not socially acceptable.
No.
Even there.
It just, they,
I mean, I could see occasionally letting the 18-year-old have a beer, but you know, Captain excuse me, Captain and Coke every night in the
Not
studio.
Every night, just Friday.
Oh, just Friday.
It wasn't like a nightly thing. It was just Friday. It was the Friday.
That's still kind of,
it was kind of like, what?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's I don't know. I look back and go, how? It happened. 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror story with us. Let's go to this letter. It says, there was a company that produced software. Most of the employees, therefore, were software developers. Most of those said software devs were fresh out of college and oftentimes didn't know any better. Among those were some who just plain didn't know anything and how they blundered through college to get a computer science degree, but most assuredly had involved sexual favors. One guy was hired based on a promising looking CV and immediately placed into an R&D team, something that normally was given to the folks who had at least a year of experience or two at the company under their belt. It was a pretty nice guy, talkative, engaging, socially well-adjusted. What could possibly go wrong, right? 3 months later, a bunch of us are having a pint at a local pub when we ask the R&D team leader how it's going with the new hire. Team leader's response, oh my fucking God, somebody fire that drooling idiot already. We learned on that day that the new hire was not only unhelpful at the job, he made things worse. His way of solving bugs was to comment out the offending line of code and repeat the process outwards until the project was compiled. No wonder some features stopped doing anything from one day to the next. Their guts were dummied out, and the buttons meant to perform a vital function of the program then only stood as mere decoration. I believe the only reason he lasted that long was to give enough time for R&D to leech the contents of his portable hard drive, which contained a very appetizing amount of recent shows and movies. Once everybody had their pick, the guy was promptly fired. So essentially, people using somebody for their stuff.
Yeah.
It's like something kids would do.
Yeah.
I don't speak tech language, but I understood enough of what was going on there.
Okay.
Did you understood it? Understood it? Did you understood it?
Explain it to me a little bit more.
Essentially, the coding that they were doing, when you're doing coding, there's places you can put notes in your code for somebody else if they were to have to work on it.
Okay.
That somewhat explains what you're doing or why the function is there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something somewhat abnormal and that doesn't affect the process of the computer reading it. It is solely made for people to read.
Okay.
But this person was simply deleting the parts out of the code, if I'm understanding correctly, that weren't working correctly. So the computer would just skip over it.
Okay.
And continue to kind of do what it's supposed to do. But then the functions that the code that was not working properly just never got fixed. And he would just note that it wasn't working and never truly fix it. Just note it.
Okay.
So that's not very efficient.
No, definitely use, not.
Use of time. Interesting that went on. I remember like years working where people would have, there'd always be like somebody at work who's like, I got a hard drive and it's got like every movie on it ever made.
Right.
It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then people like bring in their hard drive. You copy it for me? You copy. This is prior to like Netflix and mm-hmm. everything. And it was a big thing. And then before that, it was music, where people didn't have all their stuff on the cloud. Who ever thought that would change?
Yeah.
I always thought that it would always be something where you're going to have your personal collection. I mean, if the internet ever went out and just like out, like it's gone for a long period of time, people, I mean, it'd be difficult to communicate, yes, but all of their collections of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're from the 90s and you still have an archive of MP3s somewhere.
Right.
Or actual records, you're kind of out of luck. It would become quite a commodity.
It would.
Again, to have any of that. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror stories with us. I'm going to pull up a call here. And take a listen as soon as my computer wants to function with it. Here we go. Let's hear your office horror story.
Hello there. Hey, I'm a teacher. And when I was in college, they told me, do not go to a charter school. And I thought, you know, some of the things they told me was they can fire you for more, no reason. They can do this. They can do that. They're this, that, you know. So my thought was, if I'm not doing a fabulous job of teaching, I deserve to be fired. And I did go to a charter school because of the demographics that it served and a job that I thought I'd feel really good about. Over the past 10 years, I've worked at two charter schools in two different states. The one that I worked at most recently, whenever that may have been, was unfucking believable. I might make a lot of calls to this show with different stories from there, but the one that I'm going to tell you today is I worked with some pretty violent young students. And, I say on my lot, sorry. But I got a lot of injuries and stuff and the kids just stayed in my room and I just, you know, there was really no plan at this crazy charter school to deal with the kinds of students that we had. So one day this kid headbutted me, split my lip open. I got 5 stitches. The school had no workman's comp plan. They wanted me to just put it in my name. They'd reimburse me. Like, yeah, right. I've met you people. I don't trust that. So I sat in the office for 3 hours while they figured out how in the world to work workman's comp. So I went to the emergency room and got a $1,200-and-something bill. I didn't know that because it went to them as it should have and as I insisted that it do. Well, that was in October. Many months later, around June or July, I started getting statements that because my employer had not paid that bill, it has now reverted to the patient, and they wanted me to pay that $1,200 for getting my lip split at work. And I'm glossing over a lot of details of how it was handled. It was just unbelievable. But so, you know, I kept telling the office, you know, hey, pay the fucking bill. And so come August, I was started getting, this is 10 months after the accident, I was getting collections calls saying, letters and calls saying that I needed to pay my bill for getting headbutted, lip split open on the job. And so I told the collection agency, hey, this is not my bill. It happened at work. It's a workman's comp claim. And gave them the name and phone number and extension and everything. By then, I was no longer at that school. I did my time and left after a year. But so I'm sitting here right now not even knowing if I'm going to get billed for that yet again. I kind of expect that I will. The next bill, I just call OSHA, because I'm sure as hell not paying for that, especially given insane circumstances that I went through on that job. I'll tell you another thing that happened if you disguise my voice.
If we disguise her voice.
It must be pretty specific.
Yeah. I'll take a listen to that.
Yeah.
And decide if we want to intermingle that at some other episode at some point, and not reference when, you know. So it's unrecognizable. So
that there's no way she should have to pay for that. That's definitely, it should be on the school.
Well, yeah, I mean, when that sort of thing happens, it is a work. I mean, but the thing is, you are then going to have to go battle. And I think some employers sometimes know that that's going to be the fact, and they rely on you to not do that, or you're just going to give up eventually. It's like a kid, you know, sometimes like, who's going to give up first?
They're going to wear you down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think some companies, you know, they rely on that. I don't know how frequent it is anymore, but I remember it was, you know, always like, oh, you know, if you sign up for that subscription to this thing, good luck ever getting them to stop. Uh-huh. And if I remember right, it was always rumored, and I don't know if this is true, but it was back in the day, there was like, remember you would get the mailers with all of the records and the CDs on, and then if you became a member of the music club, you get all 10 CDs for $10, and every month we're going to send you whatever we want, or whatever it is, and you're going to pay this monthly fee. And I remember always hearing stories back then that good luck getting them to stop. Even if you cancel, it's like just hell on earth to do it. And then eventually they'll wear you down. I think there's a lot of that in the medical field.
I've
dealt with that personally with not workman's comp things, because I mean whenever I get a bill from for you, I just don't pay it, and the I don't know a Jenny Brewski. And then it just gets kind of awkward and we don't speak for a couple of days. But I've dealt with it where it almost seems like that's the strategy.
Yeah.
With some medical facilities where they will deliberately either bait and switch billing or they know there's an inaccuracy, but sometimes like, well, it has to go to the board. And in my mind, I'm like, really, to the board? Mm-hmm. Like, is there like a group of like seven people like sitting all like in a line on a tall podium? And then someone, you know, meager brings in this bill. Yes, Mr. Tony Brewski requests your attention to this bill of overpayment of $42.97. Board number one, what do you feel? You
know? Yes.
and then they drink from their chalice and then it slowly, they just each go down and.
Well, I really don't even in this case fault the place where she went, you know, to get the stitches. I mean, that it's the school's fault.
Yeah.
The school should be the one paying that. And I mean, they have to follow through on collecting somehow.
Yeah. In this case, it is the employer not following through. But I think in some cases, the medical, it can be a nightmare. Some are great, some are not. And then you have the communications between insurance and what's allowed, what's not. I mean, I think the worst damn job in the world right now would probably have to be the individual that has to be the go-between between the patient, the medical facility, and the insurance company.
Do you remember when we had HARP, the office where we were going wanted us to prepay before we even had the C-section?
Yeah, and that's the messed up part. Yeah. It's like shady shit like that that goes on when they come at you at like in the most vulnerable times. Mm-hmm. And I look at it going, I get why they're doing that. And what their plan in that is prepay, we'll run it through insurance, and then we'll refund you whatever we overcharged you.
Right.
But at least they get their money. And I'm sure, you know, there's a whole litany of, you know, nightmare things and reasons why they do things, because there's a whole litany of people that never pay a bill. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we got to cover our costs. So we're going to essentially try and take it from people that we know can pay. And then other people that can't or won't, we just got to kind of write that off at some point. But right. It's a fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember I had folders that I went on for like, I mean, even then getting those bills correct, and you got to be on the ball.
Yeah.
And know what they're talking about. And anyone who thinks our medical system is wonderful and works great has clearly never worked with our medical system or had any involvement or action with it.
And typically it's not that complex, but she was a high risk pregnancy. And so it was like, we had constant appointments and then specialists and all those things. And so you had a whole mess to deal with.
Yeah.
So
it all worked out. It all settled down. I think we finally got the last bill taken care of last week, but no, I mean, it did take a little while just to figure it all out. But I was a mess when I was trying to do the breathing, the CPAP machine.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just trying to get, and that was a whole like bait and switch is, well, you have to get this here. And then medical shit shouldn't be a sales job. It should be, here you need this because this is medically necessary. It shouldn't be like buying a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to, you know, and then with this CPAP machine, you get Netflix, you know, it's like, what? For a year? Really? Yes. Yes. And then Hulu, but not Hulu Premium. You know, that's how it feels sometimes with that stuff. And it's like, this is just not appropriate. So anyway, 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror stories with us. We'd love to hear it. You can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or write in at officehorrorstories.com. That is going to wrap up our program for the day. Please do share your stories with us and press subscribe, whatever platform you listen to us on. Helps us grow in the ratings. Review also greatly appreciated. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories. Hey, it's Tony Brewski along with Jenny and Carol Hughes, inviting you to come check out our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
You don't get a fart in my presence, it just leave it.
When I pick up a cup, I try to take a sip. It's Greg's chew. Like, spit take right into the screen.
Gross. I know. You can't unhear that.
It's a show jam-packed with stories of crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell.
I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker.
Pick your ear, nose, rub your eye that clearly probably is pink eye. Here, let me handle those apples for you.
So not only is it gross that you're getting bacteria onto the money, but you're getting bacteria up into something else.
And the best part, you're invited to share your workplace nightmare or office horror story as well. Just search Office Horror Stories wherever you download podcasts, click subscribe, and start binging away now.
You know, I'm single, and then I listen to stories like that, and I'm like, that person found someone.
What? You've been carrying on a not-so-discreet affair with one of the day shift supervisors and had skipped town with her and literally thousands of dollars of client money that had been earmarked for employee incentives.
I wish I had a kid. Because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot, I could leave early a lot, and not saying,
you know,
that they were making it up. But yes, I have worked with people who made that joke.
Our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. New episodes weekly, available wherever you download podcasts.